From 143rd Street in Harlem to the Center Court at Wimbledon is about as far as one can travel. That's a quote from Althea Gibson.
And welcome to The Shrinks on Third. I'm Julie Mayer.
And I'm Cindy Ariel. Welcome.
So today we're going to have a conversation that has to do with racism in sports. And in particular, we're going to highlight one athlete who many of us have never heard of. And when I think about racism in sports, I immediately think of Jackie Robinson, the baseball player, because he is known as the, and I'm no sports expert, I'm just going to say that, but I know his name because he is known as the first African-American to play baseball in the white leagues. And originally, there were these separate leagues that were just African-American. They were segregated. And there were all these really talented baseball players in the African-American leagues. And Jackie Robinson is sort of the symbol of integration of baseball, which is a huge burden on him. And I think it was. And then, you know, I think about other sports like tennis, which is what we're going to talk about today. What do you think of when you think of tennis?
If we're thinking about African-Americans in tennis, I think about Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, I mean, I think about Serena and Venus right now because they are two African-Americans who are the latest big stars in tennis who are African-American. But I agree. I mean, when I think of tennis in general, I've always thought of it as kind of a white sport. And so you can think of these sort of household names of tennis, people like Roger Federer, John McEnroe, Jimmy Connors, or even white female tennis players that are famous, Billie Jean King, Chris Everett. But the only one that I had thought of who was African-American is, like you said, Arthur Ashe. And he was a really impressive tennis player. He was the first and only Black male to win the U.S. and Australian Tennis Opens and Wimbledon. And in addition to being a great groundbreaking athlete, he worked for social justice for much of his life. And he also became the first African-American millionaire in his sport. You know, a lot of these sports make people very wealthy and most of them are white. But you know who I didn't know about? I didn't know about Althea Gibson, and she's the first African-American tennis player to become famous. What do we know about her, Cindy?
I didn't know about her either. And full disclosure, no surprise to anyone, I'm also not a sports expert. However, I first thought of Arthur Ashe too when we wanted an African-American athlete. He's the one who's very well known, and he's, you know, inspired so many organizations, and he did do a lot for social justice. But so in our research, we realized that Arthur Ashe maybe couldn't even have done what he did without Althea Gibson first breaking the racial barrier in tennis, just as Jackie Robinson did in baseball. She's sometimes compared to Jackie Robinson in that way. Some people talk about her that way. So she was the first African-American tennis player to compete at the U.S. National Championships way back in 1950, and the first Black player to compete at Wimbledon in 1951.
Wait, so do you think that there were no other good Black tennis players back then?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it then. I don't think it now. Just like you said, they had their own leagues, but the white leagues were closed pretty much to any people of color.
So
whether
she must have been
good or not.
She must have been exceptionally good to somehow break through the color barrier.
I'm pretty sure she was an amazing athlete. She seemed to be a natural athlete. She won tennis tournaments locally. She grew up in Harlem, so she was playing in Harlem. I think she started out with table tennis, a place where youth play, or she was like amazing and then won tournaments. And a year after she first had any access to a tennis racket, she was like winning tournaments.
Wow.
So she's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, all right. So she started out in the American Tennis Association, which was the Black Leagues, right? So the oldest African-American sports organization as the Black equivalent to the United States Lawn Tennis Association, which was, you know, the professional games.
So tennis has a history of being a segregated sport. It wasn't that Black people didn't play tennis. They just had their own association.
Right. Which weren't as prestigious, didn't pay as much. It took a while. You mentioned that Jackie Robinson, he was the one that became the first millionaire. Is that what you said?
Okay. No.
Arthur Ashe?
Yeah.
Okay. So interestingly, Althea Gibson did not become rich.
No,
she made money, but she struggled a lot. She had various struggles, including health struggles, and she was not a millionaire.
Well, it's not exactly surprising.
It must have been harder for her as a woman, an African-American woman. Of course, you know, nobody even remembers her as much as they remember the man.
Yeah.
So she just kept playing and winning in all of the Black leagues. And then finally, you know, the white professionals noticed her and couldn't deny her abilities. So she debuted at the U.S. Nationals. And at first they set her up, they call it Court 14, which I'm not familiar with that, but apparently that's like the one way on the end where it doesn't even have a lot of spectators can't even be there because who wanted to watch that, you know, that Black woman play. But she ended up winning that match and, you know, moving into another match. So she moved up in the courts and she ultimately didn't win, you know, completely in that tournament. But later on, she had amazing winning streaks. She won like 56 singles and doubles championships overall.
Wow.
And finally turned pro in 1959 after all this winning and playing. So that had to be really hard for her to break that racial barrier. And people didn't even want her on the courts.
It must have been such a burden on her to not be seen as a fabulous tennis player, but be seen as a Black tennis player who was so good that she had to be let in, and that somehow she kind of represented her whole race instead of just being herself like all the white people could be who played tennis. You know, they can just win and be a player, and she had to be somehow the representative for her race. I'm sure that was a burden on her.
I'm sure that was a big burden, and it was really mixed because at the same time as she was, like in 1957, she was on the covers of Time Magazine and Sports Illustrated. Wow. Because that was during her winning streak when she was doing so well. She was the first Black person to be voted Female Athlete of the Year by the Associated Press, and she was voted that 2 years in a row.
That's amazing. Who gets that 2 years in a row?
I know.
She must be super impressive for someone whose name is not a household name.
Right. But here's the thing. She still wasn't accepted at all the clubs and was sometimes denied a hotel room where she had to go to play.
Wow. That's horrible.
Right. And one hotel even refused to book a luncheon that was going to be in her honor. They didn't want to honor a Black woman in their hotel.
Wow.
So
awful.
Even though, I mean, she broke racial barriers, but it was such a struggle for her. And even then, it wasn't until 15 years after her that another, you know, a woman of color, Yvonne Goolagong, who was from an Australian Aboriginal family, won the French Open and Wimbledon. Like, it took 15 years for another woman of color. And now, you know, there's a few more, but it's like, it's not exactly like the doors of opportunity swung open.
No, because 43 years later, when Serena Williams won the 1999 US Open. So that's a long period of time to go by.
Right. So that's now, and we're all so excited about that. But at the same time, like, where are the other fantastic athletes that we've never heard of or never seen? They're American athletes.
Yeah. Tennis is an expensive childhood sport. And it's an expensive thing to get training in. And I wonder if that plays some part. I mean, that's why Arthur Ashe set up these tennis training institutes all over as many places as he could, because he really wanted people to have access, because it's part of why it's been so exclusive and exclusionary is the cost. But didn't Althea Gibson do other sports besides tennis?
Oh, so there was a period where there was no tennis tour, and she really wanted to play around. So she tried golf, and she did really well. She got in some golf tournaments, but she wasn't as good at golf. She still played at the tour level, but she just wasn't, you know, crazy winning. So it wasn't her main sport, and she went back to tennis.
Okay, but I think she became the first Black woman who competed on the pro tours, right? Another thing we know.
Right. Yes. Even though it was relatively briefly, they let her in because she was good and they couldn't keep her out. She was too good. But how about that? Like, you have to be so good, like so good. Like, I don't know.
Exceptional.
And I think that's the unfair burden that you carry as a Black female.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, two strikes against you. You're female and you're Black. And so people are less interested in you as an athlete, and they may even want to reject you as an athlete because you're Black. And so she had a lot of pressure on her. It sounds like she was just really in love with the sport, though, and not looking to make some kind of statement about race. Although I think it was inevitable. I mean, she had to, because she was Black.
Yeah, she made a lot of statements about race just by her playing and her breaking that barrier. But as a person, she didn't want to speak on it. She didn't want to be a representative. She just wanted to be a tennis player. You know, she just wanted to be an athlete. And that's what she focused on. And she was great at it, you know? Yeah. So, and maybe that's the difference. I don't know. Like, maybe that's the difference with Arthur Ashe. Like, he wanted to make statements.
He was an activist, but it's not fair to demand that anyone of color who gets a public position needs to be an activist. I mean, she did do service. She did coach people. I mean, she did things.
Oh, she did. Yes. Yeah.
She was the commissioner of athletics in New Jersey for 10 years. She was.
Right. I think when she retired, she taught tennis.
So she was involved in helping other people become good at tennis, but she wasn't an activist in quite the same way Arthur Ashe was. But, you know, white tennis players don't have to be activists.
Right. She shouldn't have to be, of course not. And that is an unfair burden in general, and specifically for her or for any athlete.
Yeah. So I guess we're talking about this topic because there are still sports where there's a degree of racism that exists. And tennis is still primarily white, even though there are some huge stars right now who are African-American or people of color. But it's known over decades of tennis as primarily a white sport. You know, there are other sports that are primarily white, and they tend to be sort of sports of the upper class. You know, polo, you do not see a lot of Black people playing polo.
Well, golf is a very expensive sport too, and another one.
And yes, we know Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Who's a person of color, but you don't hear of a lot of people of color playing golf either, even to this day.
And so, yeah, even in golf, right, you think of Tiger Woods, you don't think of Althea Gibson, who also was the first Black golf player. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, we don't think of her. So the fact that she's female makes her a little bit less in the spotlight, but she really achieved a lot. And like you said, it seems like she paved the way in some ways for Arthur Ashe to get to be able to play tennis in the with the white people. So how do we help people of color who are growing up now have access to sports?
And how do we integrate the sports and not have them be, I mean, they're American sports. So if they're American sports, Americans should be able to play them. And if you're good at it, you should be able to be in whatever league, you know, makes sense for you.
But to be good at it, you need to have access to it in the first place.
Right, yes.
So if we want to learn more about how to help sports become anti-racist, what are some things we might do?
Well, the USTAFoundation.com brings tennis and education together for youth and also supports the National Junior Tennis and Learning Network, which features more than 250 nonprofit youth development organizations throughout the country that offer free or low-cost tennis and education programming to over 160,000 under-resourced youth each year. And interestingly, studies have shown that youth who play tennis are healthier and less prone to risky behavior like binge drinking and cigarette smoking. So I'll just throw that in there.
Actually, that's been shown to be true for kids who play almost any sport in an official way, you know, on a team. So yes, sports are good for people.
Sports are great.
If you're interested in learning more about Althea Gibson, now that we know who she is, if you are interested in learning more about Althea Gibson, she actually wrote an autobiography that you can read. It's from 1958, and it's called I Always Wanted to Be Somebody.
And it's amazing that she wrote an autobiography because she was never interested in school and was not a good student. She was just really into sports. But then she wrote a book, which is really amazing. I would love to read it.
Yeah. Now that I know who she is.
There's also a book for kids about Althea Gibson, The Story of Tennis Fleet of Foot Girl, a picture book by Megan Reed, illustrated by Laura Freeman. So I think it's important, like with all of these, that we also teach our kids all this stuff we never learned. That's really cool stuff. They shouldn't come to be our age and not know any of it.
Yeah, and it's inspiring, you know. If Althea Gibson could be a famous tennis player, then a lot of children might think that's a possibility for them when they.
And it is.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah. We're out of time, although I'd love to keep talking about athletes. But you can find us at shrinksonthird.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at shrinksonthird. Till next time.
Take care.